following audio is from the Lifeway Church. For more information about the Lifeway, please visit our website at www.thelifeway.org.
Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Mother's Day. Let's give our mothers all a hand again. I honor each and every one of you here. For those of you that may not know me, my name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at The Life. We're just so happy that you're in service with us this morning. I'd like to give special honor to my mother, who is over 10,000 miles away in Enugu, Nigeria, probably just winding up service. And I don't know if she ever listens to the podcast, but if she does, she'll hear me welcome her and tell her how much I love her and appreciate her. I also honor those who would like to be mothers in the room, but for medical reasons cannot be. And so we give you honor as well. To those who gave birth this year, we rejoice with you. To those who may have lost a child, we mourn with you this morning. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, all of us who have children, I think probably at some point or another, you go through that phase. You have disappointment, heartache, distance with your children. We ache with you. This Mother's Day, wherever you're at in your journey, we want you to know that we are here as a church to walk with you. And so we just honor you this morning. Let's give our moms a hand one more time today. Today we're beginning a new sermon series entitled Forgotten Virtues. And I think it's so appropriate that our subject today is actually the subject of honor. We're going to be talking about honor this morning. And sadly, we live in a culture where many people live without honor. And while honor is lacking in our society, it really is an essential virtue that each of us should possess, each of us should exhibit. In fact, there was a time recorded in Scripture when Jesus was actually limited in what he was able to do because of a lack of honor. In fact, if you have your Bible, your digital device, I encourage you to go ahead and open it up. We're going to be in Mark 6 is our key passage today. I encourage you to take out your sermon outline, which is located in your service guide. Follow along with us and fill in the blanks. As you're turning there, I want to give you a little bit of context of what is happening in this passage. Jesus was returning to his hometown. He was going back to the place that he had been grown up, the place that he had probably went to school, the place that he was raised. And so after he had been traveling the countryside, teaching and performing all sorts of miracles and doing all kinds of great things. If you remember, Jesus turned water into wine. Jesus raised the dead. He opened blind eyes. He healed deaf ears. He healed the sick. He fed thousands from one person's lunch. I mean, Jesus was doing incredible things. He even healed Peter's mother-in-law, which is why many Bible scholars believe that later Peter denied Christ. All right, I just wanted to make sure you were paying attention here. That really didn't happen. I just wanted to make sure I didn't lose you in the first 2 minutes of the message, all right? I'm joking, that didn't happen. Just, all right, please, you know, that's what I'm going to see tweeted all day today, is that. But anyway, let's pick up the story. Mark chapter 6, verse 1, it says this: Jesus left there, and he went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these teachings?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing?" In other words, they were saying, "Man, this guy is awesome. He's amazing. His teaching is so powerful. The miracles are incredible. How does he do it?" Then in verse 3, someone said, though, "Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. In other words, what they were saying is, "Isn't this the guy that we grew up around? Well, you know, wasn't Jesus the kid that was always so annoying in class? You know, the teacher's pet, you know, the kid who got straight A's and never had to study for any test? Wait a second, isn't Jesus the guy who made your kitchen table? Then in verse 4, Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. And the Greek word that is translated without honor is the word atimos. And if you're taking notes, here's what it means. It means to dishonor. It means to treat as common, to treat as ordinary. And so when Jesus went back home, he was treated as ordinary. Now, believe me, there is an entire message that could be preached right on that one definition there, treating the things of God as ordinary. You know, have you ever noticed how early, you know, in your dating life or early in your marriage where everything is so great? Like, you know, you are just so in love. How many of you, you know, notice that when you get in a new relate? Like, it is so amazing. Well, let me tell you, the reason that everything is so great is because that you are continually showing honor to each other. You know, you do things like, guys, you know, you open up the car door. Right? You buy presents. You bring home flowers just because. You know, we'll say things like, well, I love you, pumpkin. You know, I love you, honey bunches of oats. I love you, baby face, or whatever you call each other. Right? But then what happens is time goes by, time passes, and you start to take one another for granted. We actually start to dishonor what was once precious. We've allowed to become common. We've allowed to become ordinary. Now, the opposite of dishonor in the Greek is the word timae. It's spelled like time, but it's pronounced timae, and it means to value. It means to respect or highly esteem. It means to treat as precious, as weighty, or valuable. And so as we go through this message here this morning, I encourage you to consider if you are treating those around you with honor. Do you treat those that you love as if they are precious? Do you treat them as if they are valuable, or do you take them for granted? I'm reminded of the classic film The Sandlot. How many of you have seen The Sandlot here? All right, many of us have seen The Sandlot. It's a movie that's about a group of boys who spend the entire summer kind of playing baseball. The whole movie revolves around the baseball. And what would happen is when these boys would go to play ball, they would hit a home run. And when they hit the home run, the way the Little League field was set up, the ball would fly over the fence and into the yard of a home that had this massive, scary dog. And so one day they lost their last ball, and the lead character, who had just kind of moved into the neighborhood, he was new to the gang, he really didn't know much about baseball, didn't know how to play or anything. He ran home and he ran into the living room, and he grabbed a ball that sat on the mantle above the fireplace. And this ball belonged to his stepfather, and due to its place of prominence, he should have known that wasn't just any baseball. And so he returned to the field and said, I've got you guys, and he throws the ball into play, and of course promptly it was hit over the fence again by the big dog. And it was at that moment this boy had this sinking feeling, and he told the other kids that some guy he had never heard of, nicknamed the Great Bambino, had signed that ball. The ball had been autographed by Babe Ruth, who many consider to be the greatest player of all time. And of course, the other boys who had grown up and loved baseball and studied baseball, they freaked out. They realized the treasure that was now lost. They realized this treasure that was now ruined. While it was just a ball, it was valuable because of the name on it. This ball should have never been used as common. It should have never been used as ordinary. And so this morning, what does honoring do? Honoring, it esteems. It lifts up, while dishonoring devalues and tears down. To honor someone is to believe the best about them. To dishonor is to believe the worst. I wonder if you've ever felt this. I can't treat you know, that person with honor because they're not honorable. Have any of you ever maybe thought that? You know, I know I'm supposed to honor, but I can't, man, I'm the only one who, okay, there's three or four. Thank you for the honest people in church. We're going to teach on honesty next week, all right? Just kidding, we're not. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. I think all of us have been there at one point or another. The next blank in your outline, respect is earned, but honor is given. Respect is earned. Honor is given. It's a choice. Honor is something that we decide in advance to do. In fact, when we choose to give honor, we are essentially saying, I choose to see you the way that God sees you. Honor is so important because it empowers and it encourages. It lifts others up. I want you to see what a spirit of dishonor does to Jesus. Once again, remember he had said that a prophet is without honor in his own home. Verse 5 says he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. Now, I want you to notice this. I want you to notice this. It doesn't say that Jesus got mad. It doesn't say that he got all upset and said, you know what, in your face, I'll show you. I just won't do any miracles. No, it says that he could not do any miracles. Going on, verse 6 says he was amazed at their lack of faith. There was a lack of honor and there was a lack of faith. Jesus could not do what he could do in other places. Some of you are wondering why, even though you prayed, God isn't moving in your marriage. Could it be that your lack of honor is limiting what God can do? As I mentioned earlier, we have become a culture that for the most part exists without honor. I believe a big reason that our country is in the mess that it is in is because we have been devaluing people by dishonoring them. So who are we called to honor? I actually believe that we are called to honor everyone. We are called to honor everyone. But I want to highlight a few of the different groups that the Bible specifically teaches us to honor. The first group, the next blank in your outline, we are called to honor, number one, our parents. Honor our parents. One of the Ten Commandments found in Exodus 20:12 says it this way. He says, honor your father and your mother. I want you to watch this. This commandment comes with a promise. It says, if you honor your father and mother, then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. How many of you want a long life? Right? Who here wants a full life? Honor your father and mother. Can I tell you, honor is so much more than just a one Sunday a year occurrence. And we love Mother's Day and Father's Day and the days we celebrate people that are important to us. You know, we love the days where we give mom some nice cards and buy her some flowers and take her to dinner. But it's important that we continuously, not just on Mother's Day and Father's Day, show our parents honor. Why? It's so important because God designed the parent-child relationship to be among the most vital of all human relationships. There's a lot of things in life that you got to choose, but your parents are not one of them. God chose your parents, and his design is for you to live your entire life honoring them. One of the best ways that we can honor our parents is by modeling their godly attributes, in which I know some of you might say, well, there was nothing honorable or nothing godly about my parents. Listen, certainly there was something that they did that you can honor them by modeling that. If it blessed you, model the things that they said and did and impacted and challenged you to be all that you could be. Think about how much it would bless your parents if you modeled that to your children and their grandchildren. Honoring our mother and father is not a simple suggestion from God. I want you to know it's a very serious commandment for all of us. The second group that we are taught to show honor to, number two, is those who are in authority. Those in authority. And so who does that include? Who does that include? It includes all those that God has placed above us, including political leaders. Even the political leaders that you didn't vote for. Law enforcement officials, teachers. Listen to what Romans 13:7 says. He says, give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them, and give respect and honor to those who are in authority. I want you to notice, it doesn't say that we're to honor those in authority when they are from our political party of choice. We are to honor at all times. Honor is given. It's a conscious decision. And I believe that there are those of us, even in this room today, that quite frankly, I'm just going to speak as a pastor here. We need a powerful dose of the Holy Spirit to convict us of some of the things that we're posting on social media. It's not honoring. It's not lifting up. And can I tell you, it's not right. God is not pleased by some of the things that we're sharing. Listen to what Daniel 2:21 says. God says he changes the times and the seasons. God removes kings. God sets up kings. God is the one who set them into place. And so I just want to challenge you, if you've got a propensity to meander down this path, shame on us for dishonoring the leadership of our country and the leadership of our state. Shame on us for speaking bad over what God has ordained. We are to honor those in authority. We need to honor our coaches and honor our teachers at school. We need to honor our bosses. And I know that's a hard one. Right? It can be difficult. You may say, well, I'm smarter than my boss. Well, you know what? You may be. But guess what? Honor is not predicated by someone's IQ. Honor is not predicated on someone's level of common sense. This is so important. Before you'll get to be over, you've got to learn how to be under. I know it's quiet in here. I know it's Mother's Day. That's hard, but that's good preaching, all right? We're to honor those who are in authority. Let me make it a little bit lighter, all right? The third group, if you're taking notes, is that we are called by God to show honor, number three, to our pastors and our church leaders. In other words, honor those who are spiritually instructing, those who are guiding, those who are disciplining, those who are leading us. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor. Double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. And so it's a biblical mandate that we honor those in spiritual authority. One of the great things that I about leading here at the Lifeway is that you guys really do show me so much honor. I am so grateful for that. And what happens is when I'm honored, it does something inside of me. It actually lifts me up. It makes me take even more seriously than I already do the role that God has given me. But this area of honor extends way beyond me as a pastor. Romans 12:10, it says this. It says, love one another with brotherly affection. I want you to catch this next word, outdo. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, outdo. Outdo one another in showing honor. We should be trying to outdo one another in the way that we show honor to those who serve in the church every week. Let me make it and break it down and make it really plain. Those of you who have children right now being ministered to by someone who is missing this service and giving their time to spiritually impact your children or maybe your grandchildren in kids' way, I encourage you, learn their name, send them a little gift card or even just a note of thanks. Show honor to the ones who serve you. When somebody runs out to your car, sopping wet, holding an umbrella on a rainy Sunday morning, also that you can come into church and be dry, find out who they are. Find out their names and honor them. Those of you who attend a life group and someone opens up their home or their facility for you to come into week after week after week, say thank you. Scripture says, look for ways to outdo one another in showing honor. Showing honor. I know this is so basic, but I hope you're going to get the message of this. In fact, I want to pause right here for a moment. I want to take some time to honor a few people here this morning. The first person I want to show honor to is actually my best friend. She is the mother of my three children. Shyla is an amazing woman. She's made, I thought about this in preparation for this message, she's made one international move and five, at least that's what I remembered, five cross-country moves, all in supporting me and in supporting our ministry. And so, Shyla, I am forever indebted to your prayers. I'm ever indebted to your friendship and to your support. I honor you for all of the private sacrifices and all of the private pain that you've endured, things that nobody will ever know about except you, all so that our ministry could move forward. I honor you, and I thank you, and I thank God for you. Love you. I love you. I want to honor our core leadership team here at the Lifeway. You don't know this, but there's a group of five people who they take time off of work every single week, every Tuesday. They take time off the things that they have going on. They stop their schedules on Tuesday morning in order to come together to serve this church, to help us grow and help us be a better church. And so those of you that are on this team, I honor you and your families for your faithfulness and your commitment to the Lifeway. Can I tell you, you are making an incredible difference. You're making an incredible difference, right? We also have another leadership group who, on top of all the things that they do every Sunday or every other Sunday, they devote one Sunday evening every single month. They come together for two, sometimes 3 hours, and we teach and we learn, and they learn how to lead better and how to invest in making our church as effective as possible. And so I honor you guys today. I also want to honor our amazing dream team this morning. You guys are incredible. Week after week, Sunday after Sunday, you serve, you create engaging environments where people can come and encounter Jesus. You may walk into church at 9:45 on Sunday morning, but I want you to know there are people serving among you that are here every single Sunday morning at 7:30, rolling crates out of the truck when it's hot, when it's 10 below zero, just whatever they can do to help. They're the first ones to hear. They're usually the last ones to leave, and so they create this amazing church experience where we are all able then to come in and experience God and be challenged to grow in Him. And so today I honor the dream team. You guys are amazing. To our amazing church family, I want to honor all of you this morning. Those of you that consider the Lifeway your church home. You give of your time. You give of your talents. You give of your treasure. You guys are looking for ways to be generous. You guys are loving. You invite your friends and family to attend. As I've looked across some of the things that have happened behind the scenes that nobody ever talks about, nobody knows, we've actually had young people in this church who did car washes and put car washes on all simply to help a family that was in need here in our church. They weren't asked to do it. They just saw a need and they wanted to do something. And so I believe that as a church, our best days are still before us. And so you, our church family, I honor you this morning. Finally, above all else, I feel like I'm giving a graduation commencement speech here. I honor Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, for changing my life, for forgiving me of my sin, for filling me with your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for never giving up on me, even when I failed, when everyone else would have walked away. Lord, I thank you because you stayed. Thank you for empowering me to do things that I couldn't do on my own. I honor him for who he is. Anybody else want to honor Jesus Christ this morning? Can you feel that? Just in a couple of minutes, there's almost like I can feel like there's an electrical current going through the air. Why? Because of honor. I want you to understand how important this is. We have the ability to speak the world into existence that we want to live in. And so I challenge you to create a culture of honor in your home and at the job and at this church. And I promise you that if you will create a culture of honor, it will change your life and it'll change the life of those around you. And so if honor is such a great thing, why do we struggle so much with giving it? I believe the reason our culture is dishonoring is because people aren't honoring God. People aren't honoring God. All true honor is born out of a heart that is surrendered to Jesus Christ. Psalms 22, 23 says, "You who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor Him. Revere Him. All of you descendants of Israel." The problem is that we have treated God. We've treated the things of God as common and ordinary. We don't honor His house. Can I just be honest and speak openly as a pastor? We don't honor the house of God. We show up once in a while. We show up whenever we feel like it. We show up when it fits our schedule. We pray only when times get tough. We only want to connect with other believers when our lives are falling apart and things are a train wreck. Can I tell you that our actions show a lack of value? Our actions show a lack of respect. We don't treat the things of God as precious and as valuable as they really are. And so if that's where you find yourself today, I encourage you to pay an account of how you are honoring God. Earlier, I shared a story from the movie The Sandlot and mentioned the baseball legend Babe Ruth. And it's believed that Babe Ruth only autographed 7 bats that he had used to actually hit a home run within a game. The very first bat was lost for decades and nobody really knew where it was. This bat was actually, they found out after the fact, was given to a man by Babe Ruth's agent. And for years, this man kept the bat hidden. It was his most honored possession. And as time passed, the man actually outlived everyone in his family. And so on his deathbed, he gave it to his nurse who had been serving and taking care of him. And he told her, he said, "You're the closest person I have in my life. You're the closest thing to family I have in my life. I want to give you my most valuable possession." And so he reached out and he got this bat and he gave it to her. And while she didn't really know anything about baseball, she thought, well, this must be something pretty special. And so for the next 18 years, she kept it in a very safe place. She wrapped it up and put it under her bed, right? The best place for things that are really valuable, under the bed. Well, she came upon some difficult financial times. She was trying to open a business, and desperate, she remembered, she goes, "Oh yeah, that guy gave me this bat," and she kind of wondered, you know, does this thing have any monetary value? And so she took it out from under the bed, and she went down to the local sports collectible store, and she said, "Man, is this old thing really worth anything?" And as the man looked at it, his eyes grew really big. He said, "I'm going to have to call in an expert." And so they brought in an expert who then examined the bat, and they looked it over and said, "We believe that this is actually the very first of 7 known autographed Babe Ruth bats." And so she was excited. They put it up for sale in a big sports memorabilia auction. And in 2006, it sold for $1.3 million. She opened her restaurant, and with the remaining money, she started a foundation to serve the children that Babe Ruth wanted to serve at the end of his life. When the news media got a hold of the story, a reporter came and he asked her, he said, "Why did you put all of that money into a foundation to help others?" And she said, "The bat was only valuable because Babe Ruth's name was on it. The only reasonable thing I could do was something that would honor his name." And so this morning, I want you to know that you are valuable because of what Jesus Christ did for you. And if you are a believer, if you've been baptized, His name is on your heart. His name is on your life. And the only reasonable response then is that we have to do something with our lives to honor Him. Sadly, though, many of our lives could be summed up by what the prophet Isaiah wrote as the Lord inspired him. And he said, "These people say that they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And it's my prayer that we not be a people who give God lip service, but rather we give him heart honor. Because he is truly the only one worthy of honor, praise, and glory. When we realize who we are because of what he has done in our lives, how he came into our lives and he fixed our mess and he fixed our brokenness, it's only then that we can show honor because we realize that we were valuable enough that Jesus Christ gave his life for us. When we know who he is, when we honor him, then we will reclaim this forgotten virtue of honor. As we close this morning, you might be sitting here thinking, well, you know what, I've been dishonoring. Maybe to my parents, maybe to my spouse, maybe to my boss, maybe to the spiritual leaders that God's placed around me. I've been dishonoring. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you've not been blatantly dishonoring, but you also really haven't intentionally shown honor to your wife or to your boss or to the people around you. And today the Spirit of God is convicting you. He's showing you that this is biblical, that it's right, that it's important. And so if that's where you are, I want you to know that you can have a brand new start today. It is not too late. But even more importantly than those things, and those things are important, let me ask you this question. Is your life honoring God? So many of us, we give him lip service, but our hearts aren't honoring to him. People say, well, yeah, I go to church once in a while. Yeah, I believe in him. I raised my hand once. I prayed once. I made the decision to follow him. But really, if you would be honest, if you would look carefully at your hearts are far from him. And even though you may find yourself in that position this morning, I want you to know that even in the condition that you're in, God still honored you. You may say, well, how did he do that? Scripture says that while we were still sinners. In other words, while we were rotten mess, while we were all messed up, when I didn't deserve it, when you didn't deserve it, Christ came and he died for us also that you and I could be forgiven. And so those of you who you recognize your life isn't honoring him, I encourage you today to call on him and ask Jesus to invade your heart. And I promise you, he'll come down and he'll do it. He'll transform you. You will become, Scripture says, a new creation, not just a better version, but you will become brand new and all of the old will be gone and everything will become new. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, but if your prayer is to know God, if your prayer is to live a life that honors him, maybe once you had that life, but for whatever reason you've drifted away, or maybe you've never even made that step to honor Jesus Christ. If that's where you are today, would you just lift your hands? I want to pray with you. Thank you, hands all over. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. This is the best decision that you could ever make. Let me pray. I want you to pray. If you don't know the words to say, you can repeat after me. Let me help you. Lord Jesus, Lord, I'm asking you this morning to save me from my sins. Lord, make me brand new. Today, I repent. Lord, today I choose to honor you by putting you first, the place that you so rightly deserve, by making you the Lord, the Savior of my life. Lord, my life is no longer my own. Lord, I give it to you. Come on, somebody needs to say that. Lord, I give you my life. Lord, thank you for new life through Christ. Lord, I pray that this message would change our hearts. Lord, give us the opportunity. Give us eyes to see those who you've called us to honor. God, may we never be guilty of good intentions only, but Lord God, that we would follow through, that we would write the notes, that we would save the words, that we would give the gifts, that we would reach out publicly to honor. But Lord God, more than publicly, Lord, I pray that privately in our hearts, that we would have a posture of honor to those around us. God, we thank you in advance for all the opportunities that you're going to give us as a church and individually to give honor where honor is due, Lord. And I pray that when we do it, it would be a reflection, God, for the true honor that we owe to you. Lord, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you've been encouraged by it. If you'd like more information about The Lifeway, please visit thelifeway.org.